God's word today, we will turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Once again, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is the owner. God is the owner. God is the owner. He created all things, and therefore he is the owner of it all. And he is pleased with giving this creation, giving all things as a gift. And that gift is eternal life. It is the glory of God, and it is his authority. And he is pleased with giving it out, and he gives to those. In Psalms chapter 84, verse 11, it says he does not hold back, but gives it graciously to all, to those. It says no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Our faith is certainly desiring to receive the gift he wants to share with us, what he wants to give us. And what we've received, the things he has given to us as gifts. So do you believe all we have was given by God as a gift? Do you believe that? That all that you have is given to you by God as a gift? Or do you think that it's by your own effort? Our faith, however, is that the God, the one who gave his son, will continue to give us even more. And we are just caretakers of what he has given us. So what he has given us while in the flesh, we receive it and take care of it. And the life of faith is to receive all he has given us and sharing it. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, he said to his disciples, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give." And this is the unique faith of Christians. Though we may have prayed very hard worked very hard to gain things, but we believe that everything we have is, it belongs to the Lord, it comes from him, and the reason we freely give is because we have freely received. Today, I will be speaking of sharing, or in English, other synonyms are distribution or sharing. So when God gives to us, he gives by grace, and he gives to us as gifts. So what he has given us through Jesus Christ is by grace, is grace. And the gifts he has given us, he gives and continues to give. So he has given us grace and continues to give on top of that. So what he freely gives us, he doesn't give by our efforts or our righteousness, but as he is the owner of all things, he freely gives to us. So the image conjured when people think of Christianity is that we must do relief work and do good work. So when people are in severe poverty or in some hardship, though other religions may not react to it or step up to do anything about it, the world doesn't demand it from them, but they do expect it from Christianity, from Christians. So they never look at people in poverty and look for Buddhists to deliver them, but they turn to Christians and question why they don't do something about it if they don't. So this is the expectation that the world has of Christians. And when we think of who started this, it might have or where it stemmed from, it might have been the Salvation Army, because even though it's winter and it's cold out, they solicit coins for the poor. So Christians have this image and expectation of sharing and giving to the needy. So in my younger years, there were beggars and poor people. And I always talk about the stories back in the day. But so the poorest were those who, at that time, so they were beggars, but during a certain period of time, there were those who carried around cans that came from America. So after the U.S. Army came and helped our country with aid, and after they left, they left many cans behind. So the cans were so useful for using as pails and buckets, and many poor people, the beggars, would take hold of these empty cans. And though they didn't have anything, they had these US-made cans, and they would sing a song, a rhyme, saying, "The poor beggar came again, please give me some food." Even if it's something you, so even if it was something you ate, people would put their leftovers into the can, and it would be like a mixed sludge of food. And this is what I saw back in the day. People would give food to these beggars in this manner. And nowadays, the standards have been raised a bit as technology has advanced. There are things that certain organizations give out, material things or things, even give out what is absolutely necessary, such as organs. There are living people who even donate their kidneys. So I haven't heard of people who would die to donate organs to someone else, but I have heard of people who donate organs that are possible, so others who are in need of it can continue to live. Currently, Korea is very developed and in the top ranks of the world countries, ranking in the top OECD countries. However, there are also many Koreans, though their society is so advanced, there are those who do not desire to become organ donors. In America, it's culturally embedded, so that when we get our driver's license and we go and get it renewed, there's just a checkbox that says if you want to be an organ donor. And for me, I feel bad because even though I want to be an organ donor, I'm sorry, but I'm very old. I'm too old and not sure if they would even want my organs. So while we are living, if you could choose to donate your organs after you die, you have this option to check it off and do good. And because there's such a shortage of organs in some countries, there are people who sell their organs. But not only that, they kidnap healthy people and cut out the organs from these living people involuntarily. And such people do such horrendous things, terrible things to give to the healthy, and it's just such atrocious acts, very barbaric and just terrible. So I came across this topic while trying to talk about sharing. So is Christianity communistic or socialist, or is it capitalist? So communistic, socialist, or capitalist? Where do you think Christianity stands? Do you believe that it's communistic, socialistic, or capitalistic? Say amen if you think it's communistic. Does the Bible say that it is? Or are you confused? So when you look at the book of Acts, there are images of Christianity being socialistic as they gave to the equal, an equal distribution. So there are images of Christianity being capitalistic as well. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer concept is the capitalistic ideology. And even in the Bible, it conveys these different images, a little bit of communism and socialism and capitalism as well. And it's ironic that it all came from the Bible. So all these isms and ideologies stem from the Christian faith. And when they talk about communism, it is the most idealistic in terms of distribution and making things equal. As people work according to their ability and give out according to need. So according to your ability, you can work and you must work. But if there is need, you give out, you distribute. So it's very ideal, it's good, as everything is equal and it seems very idealistic. However, the reason this communist model does not work and is not successful, why is that? Though it is idealistic, why hasn't it taken a foothold in the world? So I'm talking about this as it's the intro. So the reason why communism doesn't work is because the nature of mankind is to desire more. The nature of mankind is greed. Though the idea seems good, people are greedy by nature. So the key and core of communism is to distribute equally. But the reason it cannot be spread and be successful is due to mankind's greed and when they get a hold of power. So even in an organization, for its operation, then there needs to be a hierarchy. There are levels and positions, and the one in higher ranks will have more authority and power. So therefore, this model does not work. However, how can this equal distribution be carried out? It can only be possible in Jesus and in church. Amen, hallelujah. And this is what the Bible speaks of. God gave his one and only Son to all without holding back. He has given to all. And how he gave him is that he gave the whole body of his Son to be torn to pieces and given to us. Do you understand? So only in God, only in Jesus can this equal distribution concept be possible. But the devil continues to attack this idea, and so many people have died and killed others. So God gave his creation to all. He gave his Son equally to all the wicked and the righteous. So God, back then there were people who believed in God, but from creation, when he gave the Son, he gave it to the righteous and the wicked. So even to this day, we receive equally. So God has given equally to all. And afterwards, he chose Israel in order to give us what he truly desired to give us. The Israelites had been living as slaves in Egypt, and he called a man named Moses to lead them out. And do you think they left easily? Do you think they easily entered the land of Canaan, the promised land? No, they didn't. Jehovah said, I will take you to the promised land. So God caused them to experience wars, and he worked to bring them victory. In one story, the Bible records that their enemy was attacked and killed by giant hornets. And so the Israelites won. So the wars of Israel were the proxy wars of Jehovah, God. So God fought in place of the Israelites and fought for them. So when other countries saw them, they probably hated the Israelites even more. The Israelites triumphed and took over the land of Canaan. And before Jehovah, they drew lots so they could distribute the land. That before Jehovah, they would draw lots to distribute the land by lot. So when they conquered the land of Canaan, the Israelites were to be given different parts of the land. But the way they did so was by drawing lots. And the law of distribution, this principle of distribution was set then. So to the 12 tribes of Israel, Jehovah said to distribute the land by lot as inheritance and to give according to the number of people in their tribe. So it says to a larger group, give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group, a smaller one. And distribute it according to your ancestral tribes. And this was done by lots, drawing lots. But it says, but to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. So out of the 12 tribes, who were the Levites? So they had the duty, the role of serving Jehovah in the temple. So they lived eating and living from the things of the temple. So the Levites wouldn't receive a lot. They wouldn't be given this inheritance as Jehovah was their inheritance. So when God distributed the land, he did so by having them draw lots. And second, they got plunder. They were to divide the spoils equally between the soldiers who took part in the battle and the rest of the community. So whether it was animals or slaves or treasures, there was a law to distribute that as well. So half would be given to the soldier, half to the people. So it was very difficult, as God meticulously instructed how to distribute everything. So these were the laws of distribution. And there were also there was also law of distribution at a brother's house. God allowed them to fight and win and take plunder. And when they received their plunder, God told them how to distribute that amongst their family and the people. And third, when they farmed, when you are harvesting in your field, so they had to harvest and all the goods and animals they had from the harvest, they wouldn't be able to take it all. But God commanded them to leave a small portion. It says, leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. And also, when you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. So God commanded them to leave a portion behind for those who did not have an inheritance. So he allowed a portion for the Levites, or for orphans and widows, he had it left for them. So when we read the Bible, there are so many things we skip but we have to understand what it is speaking of. He doesn't just give to us without thought or plan. From before creation, God had a plan to give to us. And when we read the Bible, we have to realize that the law of distribution isn't boring, but we have to read the Bible with the understanding that there is something greater he desires to give us in the end. that this is all an effort for us to receive what he has, he desires to give us. Amen. Then there was the prophet Elijah, who went to the home of a widow in Zarephath. And during that time, there was a severe drought and famine. So there was a lot of hardship, a very difficult time. And Elijah went to this woman and asked for a little water in a jar. And as she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." And as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me." It says, first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have. It says, first, make a small loaf of bread for me and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. So it says, first, make a small loaf of bread for me, and then make something for yourself and your son. So, and the woman realized he was a man of God, and even if she were to starve, if she can make something for this man, it would give glory to God. So she did this work of sharing. And some time later, it says, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. And when this happened, Elijah said to not worry, and he restored her son to life. Hallelujah. So even at this absolute desperate moment where she only had enough to eat and die with her son, when she gave her last to this man of God, when she did this work of sharing, her son was brought back to life. Hallelujah. So this is the story in the Bible that sets an example. And through all these things, what the temple reminded the Israelites of, as it says in Psalm chapter 68, verses 4 to 5, it says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. So that Jehovah is a father of orphans, of the fatherless, and he is the defender of widows, the judge of the widows. And when the Israelites looked at the temple, they remembered that God looks after orphans. And it also says in Nehemiah chapter 9:21, "For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen." So the temple reminded them of all these things, that Jehovah took care of them and even brought them to this land he conquered. So the temple reminded them everything they had was not their own, but from God. And even though the temple had this function to remind them, they still served other gods, other idols, and they came, therefore, to ruins. They lost their sovereignty and were taken as plunder by other nations, and they were dispersed. And the small remnant returned to Jerusalem to serve God and worship there. And during that time is when Jesus Christ appeared. And what did he say when he looked towards the temple? He said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." So this temple is the temple that reminded them that Jehovah would restore them. But as Jesus said, to destroy the temple, as he said such a thing, he was seen as a threat to the Jews, and they thought that if they just left him alone, they would come to their destruction, and so they plotted to kill him. But Jesus not only said to destroy the temple, but he also said he will raise it again in 3 days. So let us turn to John chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. It says, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. So the temple that Jesus said to destroy is a temple that was built by hands. The temple of Jerusalem, built out of dirt, that took 46 years, and it had the name of God, which was Jehovah, the name they knew to be the God of Israel. What we must not misunderstand is that many churches continue to call out the name of Jehovah, but we're not Israelites, and the name Jehovah is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah. So he is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is a God of flesh passed on through bloodlines and has a relations with bloodlines. What that God gave to them was the law. The law. So the law was the law they had to keep by flesh. So if their flesh, it was regarding the flesh, and if they kept it, they could receive God's blessings and promises, as he was a God of covenant. But the law is regarding the flesh. So out of the laws God has given to the flesh, amongst them, so what is the topic of today? It is sharing. So amongst them, there was this law of sharing. The law said to distribute, to divide, to draw the lots and divide the land. It was to distribute. And I've spoken of the laws of distribution. But it all has to do with the flesh. So food, giving that out is of the, so food, the distribution of land, of materials is of the flesh. It's temporary and is not eternal. It's limited. But when Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days," he was referring to his body, which would die and be raised back to life. So his body, the body of Jesus, was the temple. So what name is in that temple and his body? It is not the name of Jehovah, but it is the name of Yeshua. And in the New Testament, there is not a single mention of Jehovah, because the one who will die and resurrect, he is God. God. Can man die and in 3 days be raised again? That's not man. The reason why people couldn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus is because man cannot die and resurrect in 3 days. So say amen if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus. We believe in the truth. He is not man, but he is God. The flesh of Jesus is not from dust, but is spiritual. It is spiritual. It is spirit. So the law is of the flesh. The truth is of the spirit. Do you understand? So in the law, it said to distribute things of the flesh, to distribute the food, such as what one needs for the body, such as food. But what Jesus would give with his body was not to the flesh and not limited, but something that is eternal. It is his body, it is his flesh, and his blood he would give to all. Do you understand? Amen. Ephesians chapter 1:6 says, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So the one whom God loves is the Son. The Son. So that through his Son he will give to us freely. That through his Son he will give to us freely. The reason he sent his Son was, we see in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So do you all remember that? So the word is, so it says, and then 14, the word became flesh. So if there's anyone that has not read these verses, I want you to read it. So I'm just so caring. And I look after all of you souls so you can read these words. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word here is not the words of a person, but it is referring to the existence of God Himself. So in English, it doesn't really make a difference, but in the Korean language, it uses a verb that says, he exists. So it uses a specific verb of exist, which indicates that the subject, the word, as a being. So he exists, and that word is God. It's not the totality of God, not the entirety of God, because there's no way for us humans as created beings to meet with God. But in order to reveal himself to us, this is the way he revealed himself, and that is through the word. So verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So he is the word who came in the flesh. The word became flesh. God became flesh. Spirit became flesh. God, he is the owner of all creation, of all things, and had a plan to distribute and share. And the one who came to distribute and share is the Son. So how can the Son give himself? So the one and only Son came in the flesh to give to all mankind. He didn't die because the authority of the Jews was so strong or powerful, or because the disciples left him, but the reason Jesus came in the flesh was because, just as God distributes to all creation, he planned to give his Son to all mankind, to give his blood to all. And that is why the Word came as the one and only Son. Amen. And that is why Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." He led his disciples to practice this sharing and distributing. He asked his disciples to go to those who were ill and demon-possessed and heal them and cast out the demons. So the people experienced the disciples healing the sick and the demon-possessed. And Jesus said, "Do you know how you healed them? It is by the name I gave you. You have healed by the name I have given you. And freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give." It wasn't by their own abilities or skills, but as they freely received from God, all they had to do was to distribute what they were given. Another example where Jesus freely gave was the work in the desert, where the people gathered for 4 days and had nothing to eat. And a little child had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so Jesus, he blessed the food. He blessed the food and gave out to his disciples. He gave out to his disciples for his disciples to distribute to the people. So it wasn't just Jesus who did this work of distribution, but he gave it to his disciples to distribute to the people. So he kept the principle, the regulation of distribution, and gave to his disciples first. And at that time, there were 5,000 people, and that's only men, but counting women and children, there were likely over 10,000. So Jesus gave it out to his disciples, and they continued to distribute the food to all the rest of the people. So Jesus followed this principle of distribution of the Old Testament. So the Old Testament is a shadow of the true image of Jesus Christ, the image of Jesus Christ. So this is the authority of the Bible. Hallelujah. And Jesus, there, he said something very important. So as Jesus gave out during the communion, he gathered his disciples on the last night during the Last Supper. And so the Jews called it the Passover and shared, they shared the bread. That's called the Passover. And Jesus said to his disciples, before he died, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. It says, I have eagerly desired. I have eagerly desired. So Jesus emphasized that he desired to share with them what he truly desired to give them. So what he meant was what he truly desired to give them was his flesh and blood through the wine and bread. God, who is the creator and the owner of all things, came to distribute and give. But what did God truly desire to give? It is his flesh and blood. So Jesus, the Word who became flesh, God who became flesh, the owner of all things, he came to this world to distribute and to share, to give. And he desired to give us his flesh and blood. Amen. So the one who sees Jesus' death as a failure is truly satanic and is the devil. Jesus did not die from falling off a cliff, but the reason he died on the cross was for his flesh to be torn, so his blood would flow and be given to all mankind. And that's why when he died, he said, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished." The moment the nails pierced his flesh, his hands and feet, his flesh tore, and the blood flowed out. The veil in the temple tore when his blood flowed out. The Roman soldiers, they cast lots to tear his clothes, just as it was prophesied. So everything was fulfilled as recorded in the scripture. Amen. So if you don't want to believe, then none of this will be apparent to you. But if you want and have the desire to believe, all these are countless evidences. Hallelujah. So Jesus died just as the Father commanded. And through his death, the devil who tried to take all mankind as his slaves, to bring them with him, was condemned, and the death of Jesus atoned for the sins of all mankind. He paid the price of all mankind's sins. The blood he shed fell as drops and drops, and those who receive even a single drop of his blood, such souls, he allows them to become children of God and to receive his name as an inheritance. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the inheritance for the believers. The fact that he has given them the name of Jesus as an inheritance is to the believers, and he gave them the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Say amen if you have received the blood of Jesus. What it means is that now you have the right to receive the distribution from God. Amen. So on this earth, you are not receiving a portion of land as an inheritance. And some might think, if you'll just give me inheritance, why not give me this apartment this high rise, or some great land? Or is that you? But if we have truly received the name of Jesus, then the land where to receive is not the land of Canaan, but it is in the Father's house. The Father's house. Jesus described what kind of place it is. The Father's house is vast. You don't even have to ask how great the Father's house is. They say the size of this universe is over billions of light years. You might worry then, how can you go to the Father's house? But we do not need to worry about that. As in the Father's house, there is no death, no sad, no sorrow, no worries, no sin. But you will be in joy and happiness forever and ever. Hallelujah. And that is the inheritance to be given to us. Hallelujah. So let us be think. Do you have, can you imagine that? Do you have a vision of it? So he has given it to us. He desires to give to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So does it sound good or not that he desires to make us rich? So don't become humble all of a sudden, but it says he became poor to make us rich. So we have to become rich. People might think of this as a prosperity church or not, but no, we have to listen on. So don't be confused and don't misunderstand. So listen on. So after Jesus died, he resurrected and ascended to heaven, is now seated on the throne, and he governs over all things. The heavens are his, the nations are his, and by his word, everything can be shaken, everything can disappear, everything is in his hands. Hallelujah. And not long after, he sent the Holy Spirit. And where did he come? Where did he come? He came to the church that is purchased by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of God. It is a church where the Holy Spirit is the one who governs. He came to such church, and what he desires to do in such church is that to make it a site of distribution, a place where there is the work of distribution. In Acts, when the church started, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the people received the Holy Spirit and they started to gather in one place. And then in verse 42, we read, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So this is the image of the first churches. If it is a church that the Holy Spirit continues to work and govern, we need to see such examples in such a church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So this is where communism started. So all those notable figures who started communism, they come from theological school. They thought if there's a world with such example, there's nothing more idealistic than this. So they took this from the Bible. But the problem with communism is that there's no apostles teaching. But for us, everything that happened, it happened through Jesus. But there was no teaching of that. So any gathering without Jesus, any idea, ideology, and thought without Jesus, it has no result except destruction. It's satanic. And as a result, it comes to ruin. But the believers here made effort to gather together, and they broke bread and praised God. This is the work that happened in the church, built on the foundation of truth. Pillar established on the foundation of truth. So say, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. If so, then all that we have belongs to who? All that we have is whose? So close your eyes and think. What do you have? All of that belongs to who? Do you wish it wasn't? So all that you have, I give to the Lord. All that I have, I give to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 25:40, Jesus said, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So in our church in the past, someone questioned why we weren't. There was someone who questioned why we're not doing relief work, or why we're doing the relief work during dedication, and was confused. And so the people, they went, so we partook in this relief disaster work, but whatever we did, all this hard work, whatever we did for the least of them, we did it for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So Peter, he saw a beggar who asked for a coin. And on that day, Peter and John were passing by. So this lame beggar, he begged day and night. And there was Peter and John. And so when they came across this beggar, what did Peter say? He said, silver or gold I do not have. Silver or gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. The silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. So the beggar likely thought, what's the name of Jesus? I just want a coin. But as Peter said it so confidently, the beggar looked at him and he said, what I have, I give to you, that in the name of Jesus, walk. And when he heard that, the lame beggar received it and got up. Hallelujah. It was not done by gold or silver, but by the name of Jesus. So what we have, what I do have, is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. And this is the distribution he has given to us. This is the name of Jesus is my inheritance. The name of Jesus is my inheritance, and whenever and whoever we meet, even if we don't have anything, we do have something to give. Amen. And it is the name of Jesus. Whenever and wherever, when you receive providence, do not turn away, but command in the name of Jesus to walk, to get out. In the name of Jesus, let us do this boldly. Amen. And secondly, what can we give? What I have is the greatest surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus. The all-surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. So the world these days, we live in a communication era with much knowledge. We live in a society that is inundated with knowledge and information. So if you have this knowledge, you can even become a billionaire. So many people upload many videos to teach us things. But in Korea, in my days, there weren't many noble people or scholars. But nowadays in Korea, if you say, who are you? They're all doctors and professors. And they have a lot of knowledge and they're very well spoken. So they may have the knowledge of the world and can receive recognition and earn a living through that. But the greatest passing knowledge is the knowledge of knowing Jesus. It is my knowledge and it is my asset. And we should be able to share, to distribute this to whoever we meet. And we ought to do it proudly and confidently. No matter who we meet in the world, we should not shy away or feel intimidated. though we may not have the knowledge of the world, but we do have the knowledge of the Bible, the knowledge of knowing Jesus. If I have the knowledge of Jesus, I can speak all night. Is that true? So someone said, when they were at the Kentucky Relief Work, one member said, let's go to Zoe. And when asked what's the topic of Zoe, they had a hard time explaining it. But if they asked, what can you gain by going to Zoe? We have to have an answer right away. What can you gain by going to Zoe? Yes, we can give the name of Yeshua, but of course, but we give them the truth. The truth. So the name of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus, that is the greatest above all knowledge of the world. It's not knowledge that came from mankind's mind. It's not limited. It's not of the flesh, but is the knowledge from heaven, from God. And we can share about that whenever. So if you give me time, I can share with you all night about the truth. Hallelujah. So you can say this if someone asks what's the topic of the conference and who's the... So the people in the world, there are programs laid out beforehand regarding the topic, the theme, the lecture, the schedule, and the time. But for us, the words we receive so far when we open our mouths, the Holy Spirit will help us to speak day and night. Amen. This knowledge we have is greater than any of the world, and we should be proud of that. We ought to be confident and bold. We should not shy away or from any scholar or doctor, physicist or scientist, whoever they are. Let them come to us, for their knowledge is only of this world. It is limited to this world and not anything beyond this universe. So everything of this world will burn away one day, but we have the eternal knowledge, the knowledge of knowing the truth, the knowledge of knowing Jesus, which is the greatest surpassing knowledge, and we can teach that to them. Amen. So how proud are we of knowing this truth? So when we speak of this knowledge, we can't speak of it as it's the pastor's, but we have to speak of it as it's our own. The knowledge that makes me and directs my life, it comes from this knowledge. Hallelujah. This is a gift he has freely given us. So do you think you can understand the Bible by your own efforts? Yes, of course it requires to make an effort and prayer, but it's by the faith of revelation, and that he has to open our minds and our hearts. For it is, so in Ephesians it says the spirit of revelation. So let us be those who receive the spirit of revelation so that we can receive this knowledge. Then no one can shake us or hinder us. Amen. Hallelujah. And lastly, what I have, I give to you. Whatever God has given us, be it material or ability or skill or opportunity, it all belongs to the Lord. Everything he has given us, we ought to give out. And we therefore must do good works and be pleased to distribute to others. Be generous and willing to share. So everything that we have, may we give it out confidently, without limits or restraint, unsparingly let us distribute and do this work of sharing. So we have been serving with the Samaritan's Purse, doing this volunteer relief work, and over 100 of you have participated. And through this, you have experienced and received great joy. And so why are you joyful? That this commonality that you have all of you who have participated in this work, you say there's joy. And it's because we have done this work of sharing and distributing and giving. The fact that I can give to someone who is in need, who is in hardship, therefore we realize I am rich. So let's say you're exchanging a certain food or a gift. So when you receive the gift, you're happy. But what about the one who is giving? So do you think the one who gives or the one who receives is more joyful? It's the one who gives who is more joyful. So this rule, this principle of giving, when the father gave his son, do you think it was painful for him and he reluctantly gave his son? No, he gave out of joy. Amen, hallelujah. So recently our church is doing this work of helping those in need and also giving out materials. Now we have over 300 refrigerators to give out, and it's quite difficult because it's not easy to receive the list of people who need them. And we're not simply just giving out the refrigerators, but we are thinking of ways to place a sticker with the name of Jesus on it. So there's a lot of planning to do, but it's headed in that direction. But not only that, there are 300 refrigerators, and it's over 300K donated by our church, and I am just so joyful. And we're not only doing that, but now we're going to Florida as well, and are determined to give them at least 100 refrigerators, and that'll be over 100K. Wow. When I think back, how I became so rich. So is there anyone who can easily write a 100K check and use it in one day? If a president were to write such a check, they'd say, oh, even in church, the deacons or they would come and to the pastor and say, if we were to write a check for $1 million, people may ask to hold back. And but how do you feel? Are you joyful? Are you joyful? Yes, because it's our church. It is you that is giving out. And God knows there's nothing I use for my personal use. But I gave it all out until I'm empty. And God gave me this great authority to give to the poor. And I am so thankful as He has allowed me to do this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you envious? Aren't you envious? Say, I am rich. I am rich. Silver or gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Walk. So we have this. Everything we can give out, we have received in the name of Jesus Christ. We have everything to be able to give out. So we can do this work of sharing, of giving out. What the Father truly wanted to give us, the one who has given us His Son, how much more would He give us if we ask? Amen, hallelujah. So close your eyes and think. Make fists and just like the song, I've got the whole world in my hands. I've got the whole world in my hands. So in me, I have the name of Jesus. In me, all creation is mine. Whether it's spiritual or not material, it is all mine. So we have to call it and use it and give it out. Let us pray.